It's so good to be back. And I did keep up with the lessons while I was gone. Some of you may not even know I was gone, but but I know that last week, the parables that we studied were about treasure and a pearl that were of great value, so much value that the one who wanted them sold everything so that he could buy those treasures. And of course, they were parables about how valuable we are to the Lord and the price that Christ paid for us. This week we have parables again that show us the importance of how something or someone is valued. So I want to remind you of the definition of value. Simple one that I found was the regard that something is held to deserve, the importance, worth, or usefulness of something. Now we know that value is not the same as price from last week. And it's easy to see that the value of something depends on who's looking at it, right? So I think when we talk about value in these parables, it doesn't mean the regard deserved, does it? It doesn't mean the usefulness, but instead, the value here is the importance to the one who looks on it. With that in mind, let's start with the parables in Luke. Now, I know we say this a lot, but it's really important that to get the context and the full meaning of each and every scripture, we have to read the verses before it and after it. I love having the last page of the study with the scripture so I can mark it and use it right there. But please, please, do not stop with that. Please open your Bibles, read before and after, because especially with these parables, that we have to dig in and find that meaning. We need the context. So, having said that, I'm going to take you back a few verses in Luke, and I'm going to start with Luke chapter 15, verse 1. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Now we've studied other parables that show us what the Pharisees really thought of sinners, haven't we? Worthless. So we can see as we read on how Jesus might want to use these two parables to teach the Pharisees the value of those sinners, how he looks at them. So he spoke to the Pharisees and the scribes to show the value of the sinner. But he spoke to the sinner and the tax collector that you notice had just drawn near to hear so that they would know how valuable each and every one of them were to Jesus. Now let's read on. Verse 3. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I've found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." The last verse here clearly shows us that the sheep is the sinner, right? That lost sheep was a sinner, and that it was the Lord who went after him in love. And that sinner repented, came back home. Notice that Jesus made a point that it was only one sheep. What is the value of one sheep? Well, to the world in general, not much at all. To the shepherd, what? It depends on who the shepherd is. And we can see that in this case, that one matters to the Lord. It makes his sacrifice for us very personal, doesn't it? Jesus would have died just for one, just for me, just for you. Why a sheep? Why did Jesus use a sheep in this parable? Well, we see it all through Scripture, don't we? And most of you've heard the stories of how sheep are really dumb and stupid, and we see how we relate, right? A sheep is helpless without a shepherd. It wouldn't survive in the heat of the day without water, and it needs a shepherd to lead them to water. It has no defense against its enemies, the wolves, the bears. So we know this sheep is a picture of a helplessness. The sheep was lost. Definitions I found for lost: ruined or destroyed physically or morally, desperate, taken away or beyond reach, insensible, hardened, lost to shame, unable to find the way, lacking assurance or self-confidence, helpless. Now, each one of those descriptions of lost shows a person's inability to help themselves or find the way back, don't they? This is the condition of every sinner in bondage to Satan. We were beyond finding our way out ourselves, weren't we? That's why we needed a shepherd, the Lord, who reaches out to us and offers to show us the way, offers forgiveness and salvation. Now, I looked the same word, lost, as it is in this specific verse in Strong's Concordance, so it goes back to the original language. And it is destroyed fully, perished, lost, dead. Now, these descriptions show us the true condition of the lost, the unsaved, don't they? Hopeless, dead. Ephesians 2:5 reminds us that we were all dead in our trespasses. So we see the sheep who is lost. What about the shepherd? Well, to the one who has a small flock, we see the importance of the one. But to the shepherd with 100 sheep, I guess it just depends again on the shepherd. Some shepherds are in it only for the money, aren't they? The Bible calls those hirelings. In John 10:13, Jesus said, "The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. They might not even notice if just one strayed, and if they did, they certainly wouldn't put in any effort to find it." The Pharisees Jesus is talking to here, they would never go after the one sheep, would they? They don't care about the one sinner, but there is a shepherd who truly cares for his sheep. That one would not only notice when one is missing, but he would do all he can to find it and return it. I'm so glad that Jesus loved me and came after me when I was lost, aren't you? Another sad thing about sheep is that they don't even know they're lost until it's too late. Truly, maybe you can remember before you were saved. Some people are good, and they think they're doing fine. They don't know they're lost. Some people aren't doing fine. But by the world's view, they don't see that they're lost. But even those who knew they were lost and felt dead didn't have a clue how or where to get help. The shepherd doesn't wait to hear the sheep crying, does he? He seeks them out the moment he knows. Ephesians 2:4-6 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses," we could say lost, couldn't we? "Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Doesn't that sound like the sheep that just got home? I thank the Lord that he did not wait for me to cry out to him because I didn't know I was lost. Instead, he sent his Spirit to convict me, to show me how lost I was and how much I needed a shepherd. And then he led me gently home through repentance, forgiveness, the blood of Christ, and welcomed me as a child of God into the fold. God is so good, isn't he? Don't you love this picture of the shepherd? Now let's read the second parable. He spoke to the same crowd, to the sinners and tax gatherers, and to the Pharisees and scribes. Verse 8. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together. Rejoice with me, for I've found the piece which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Again, even as we see just one coin was lost, it had great value to her, didn't it? And she searched for it. It wasn't the value of the money monetarily. It wasn't the world's value of the money. It was the importance to her personally. When she lost the coin, notice what she did. She lit a lamp, didn't she? Oh, can you see the picture there? Keeping in mind that the Lord never loses sight of us. When we say we're lost, we're not lost to him. We're lost because we don't see him and don't know our way back. We're in the dark, but he is always shining his light, isn't he? So that we can find our way. Psalm 119, 105 says, the word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word is a light always shining. John 8:12, then Jesus spoke to them again saying, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The Lord lights his way for us through his word. And we're also to be lights in the world, aren't we? Shining out for others who need to see the way. Both of these parables are very clear about how much God loves each and every one of his creation, aren't they? They're very clear about how he longs for all to come to him. Now let's go to Matthew. It's interesting to notice that what seems like the same parable is taught here to a different group entirely. Now, if you didn't go back and read the verses before, you wouldn't know that. So, again, I'm going to take you back a few verses. So in Matthew chapter 18, I'm going to start with verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? So now, instead of the sinners and the Pharisees, who is Jesus talking to? His disciples. And they're asking about the kingdom of heaven. They're trying to find out how people are valued in the kingdom of heaven. Judging from some of their other conversations that we know, they probably had a selfish motive here, didn't they? Maybe they expected Jesus to say he was first, but they were next because they had been specially chosen. But as usual, the value and importance of a person in God's kingdom is nothing like the world's, is it? Verse 2, then Jesus called over a little child, set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Now skip down to our first verse for the week, verse 10. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Now, there's a whole lesson here about becoming like a child, isn't there? But that's not our focus this week. We talk a little bit about it in the study, but what I want to point out right now is that children, who he said being like a child would make you greatest in the kingdom, are nothing. Nothing like that in the world, are they? In the world's economy, children would not be at the top of the list for most people. But each one is so important to God that he included a very severe warning here to any that would lead a believing child astray. And we know that, yes, that's children, but it's also young Christians. It's also children of God, right? In the culture at the time of Jesus, children were more looked on as property than as valuable, as an asset or a responsibility, instead of the precious gift we see them as today. So this was an important lesson for them. We can see that as God's children were valued by the Lord, even as this child that he brought forth to the disciples. Now let's read on, Matthew 18, verse 11. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Don't you love that verse? Because right there, plain and simple, we know why he came. I say it's simple, but the fact that Jesus followed it with a parable tells us that maybe it wasn't so simple to those listening then. Because they didn't know they were lost? Or because they didn't quite have that value system of the kingdom of God right yet? And maybe because they lived in this culture where a child was lowly, he needed to give them another picture, something they could understand even better. So Jesus used this parable to show his purpose in a way that if they had ears to hear, it's right above this parable, by the way, they could hear and understand. So let's read the parable. Matthew 18, 12. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over the sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Just as Jesus used the picture of the lost sheep and the shepherd to show the Pharisees how the Lord values and seeks after each and every sinner to be saved, and to show the sinners how important they are to God, here he uses the same picture to show how every single person in the kingdom of heaven is treasured. And if one might stray, he will go and seek after them to bring them back. These little ones points to every single person, no matter how insignificant they seem to the world or to us when we look through our fleshly eyes. Notice that this sheep went astray. Now, we can imagine how a sheep might stray from the fold, can't we? He's a dumb animal, right? So let's talk about how a person might stray. To do that, let's look first at some definitions. Stray. A, to wander from company, restraint, or proper limits. Maybe we should say to wander from fellowship, obedience, and the word. Same thing, isn't it? B, to roam about without fixed direction or purpose. Okay, maybe we could rephrase this. To roam without looking to the word for direction and guidance. C, to move in a winding course or meander. Definitely doesn't sound like the straight and narrow path, does it? D, to move without conscious or intentional effort. Now that doesn't sound much like being sober and vigilant as we're encouraged in 1 Peter 5:8. E, to become distracted. Distracted by the cares of the world. F, to wander accidentally from a fixed or chosen route to err or sin. You notice all of these are gradual things, aren't they? It doesn't say run away, but wander. It's not rebellion, it's distraction. These are the things that we may not notice, but still can move us away from the Lord. Or we might see these things moving our brothers or sisters away from the Lord, straying from Him. They come from not being watchful, alert, diligent. Instead, being lazy or negligent. And we see how all of them can result in being lost, can't we? I'm sure you've already heard, I've already said, how stupid sheep are. Let me ask you, how long do you think it takes for the sheep that is straying from the Lord to know they're lost? Too long. The sheep can go to the edge of the cliff and fall off before it realizes it's too late. Haven't we all had a friend or a family member that we know has been straying? They don't know it. They don't see it. They don't mean to. What do we do? Well, just as the Lord reaches out and seeks each and every one who strays, we are to do the same thing. If you read on in the next verse in Matthew, it's not in our study, but it's the one that follows it. Matthew 18:15, Jesus instructs the disciples in how to reach out to the brother who has sinned against them, who's straying. Doesn't that help to see the focus here? There's another reminder here to me too. So often if someone does stray and sin, makes a mistake, then the enemy will be right there to whisper in their ear that the Lord is angry, that there's no way they can go back, that he doesn't want them anymore. But that's a lie. This parable shows us that instead, the Lord is seeking them, going after them. Isn't that wonderful? That's wonderful to us. It's a message of a hope that we can give to anyone who has strayed. Another sad thing to me is that I have seen those very ones who should be welcoming that straying sheep who has repented and returns. I've seen them reject that person, somehow thinking they're better. We can be like the Pharisees, can't we? Instead, we should be the ones reaching out with open arms, rejoicing because they've returned. There's a lesson here for every one of us, no matter where we are. In each of these parables, we see that when the sheep returned, when the coin was found, there was rejoicing in heaven. They gathered together to rejoice. Now, yes, you know what? That shows how they valued that person. What do you think it showed that person? How valued they were. I have to ask myself and ask you, do we understand the value of each and every one of God's children? Sometimes we forget how much he values us. But when we look around at the lost, when we see one of the kingdom that strayed, how do we value them? You know how you value them by the price you're willing to pay. Because these are pictures of the Lord and how he sought us and rejoiced when we were found, it's also a picture for us of how we should value each one, aren't they? Isn't it? It's a reminder that sheep do stray. And we should never think that we aren't able. So we should stay close. We should stay close as we can. We should be in the Word. We should have that light so present in our lives that we don't stray. It's good to know that He'll come after us. But even the one who knows the Lord and strays and comes back, there's pain. There are consequences. Not just in their own life, but in those around them. These parables are hope for the lost, but they're also not a license to wander. Let's sum it all up. Jesus died for the whole world, but these parables remind us that He died for the whole world one by one. It's very personal. He died for you, He died for me, and He died for each and every lost and straying sheep. Whether it's a lost sheep who's never known Him or one of the kingdom of heaven who strayed, He seeks each and every one to bring them back into His arms. Let's pray. Lord, oh, thank You so much for Your word, for these parables that give us such a clear picture of how much You love us. How important each and every one of us are to You. And Lord, we ask as we go and discuss and dig more into these parables that You would put in us an understanding of how valuable each person is to You. That when we look and see others, we would see them through Your eyes. Help us, Lord, to be a light that would draw those who are lost to You. Help us, Lord, to be willing to take that step toward them, help them find their way. And Lord, help us never to be the one that isn't rejoicing when one returns. We love You, Lord. We know that without You, we can't possibly understand. But we also know that You want us to understand. So show us and teach us and change us, Lord. And we'll give You all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.